following message was recorded at Antioch Presbyterian Church, an historic and charter congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, ministering to upstate South Carolina since 1843. Come and visit us at the crossroads of Greenville and Spartanburg counties. Experience our past and be a part of our future. For more information, visit antiochpca.com.
I'm sure you have noticed that when we read through this sermon text, something was stressed by Luke. Luke is the author of this gospel, and something is stressed by him. And we see that in the beginning of our text, verse 40, where he describes the growth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he repeats that in verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And this statement is paralleled with the growth of John the Baptist in chapter 1. There we see something very similarly said about John the Baptist. Verse 80, so the child grew and became strong in spirit. And in the Old Testament, we have a similar statement about Samuel the prophet. And there it is said, and the child grew in stature and in favor with both with the Lord and with men. Now, what is the point of Luke? What does he want to say to us when he repeats actually twice that the Lord Jesus Christ is growing? Well, the point he's making is that the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when we parallel that with John the Baptist's growth, that he truly grew like any other child. He grew physically, he grew mentally, he grew spiritually in grace. He was truly man. He truly became man. Well, you may ask yourself, but is the Lord Jesus Christ not God? Yes, of course. Of course, he's also God. And Luke does not gloss over it. In chapter 1, verse 35, he says, or he speaks of what was said to Mary, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. But what Luke is doing here in our passage, he wants to emphasize that the Lord Jesus Christ truly became man, and he grew like any other child. Yes, he never sinned, but he grew mentally and spiritually and physically. And exactly that we want to look at today, how the Lord Jesus Christ grew. And particularly, we want to ask ourselves, what were the principles that drove Christ's growth? Because if we see and learn in Scripture that Christ grew, even as a child, we may ask ourselves, well, how did he grow then? What were the principles and means the Lord was using for his growth? And if we know these means, we can use them as well to grow ourselves in the Spirit of God and in the grace of God. And therefore, the title today is The Growth of Christ. Very simple. The growth of Christ. And I have 3 points. The first point is delight in the law of God. Delight in the law of God, or delight in the Word of God. Secondly, delight in obedience to God. Delight in obedience to God. And thirdly, delight in God. Delight in God and having a delight in having fellowship with God. Let us look at the first point, delight in the law of God. Before we go to our text we have in front of us, I want to ask the question, where do we see the thoughts and the mind of Christ very often presented to us in the Scriptures? Well, of course, in the Gospels we see that, but then also, particularly, we see the mind of Christ in the Psalms. What he was thinking, what his experience was as a man, as a human being. Because David wrote the Psalms, and he was a type for Christ
and he was writing then already about the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Psalms, we see that the psalmist, and therefore Christ, was delighting in the law several times. Even Psalm 1, we probably all know Psalm 1 very well, and Psalm 1 starts in that way. Blessed is the man, first who walks not, but then in verse 2 it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And when we read that in Psalm 1, children, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he had a delight in the law of God continually. And he was meditating upon it. Or Psalm 119, and in God's providence, I'm just currently in my personal reading in the Psalms, I'm reading through it. And there we see how the Lord Jesus Christ has a delight in the law of God. He has a delight in the word of God. For instance, verse 126, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Imagine we rejoice quite often, don't we, if you have suddenly maybe $30,000 on our bank account. But here Christ is saying, I delight much more in the commandments of God than all the money you could give me. And therefore we can assume that if this is written of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, that he would delight in the law of God, that he also did that when he was 12 years old. And where do we see that in our text? Well, I want to suggest to you, we see it in the time he was spending hearing the word of God. And for that, I need to explain a little bit more. We see here in our text that he went up with his parents to Jerusalem at the feast of Passover. There were three feasts where the Jews went up to Jerusalem that was given to them in the Old Testament, also Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles was also, there were also some other feasts where they had to go up. But that was the Feast of Passover. And that was connected with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And all together was more than 7 days long, really, where they would go up and celebrate. And of course, during the 7 days, they would also hear the preaching of the word. If you go to Nehemiah 8, this is said about the Feast of Tabernacles, but we can assume they did the same thing with also the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where they had daily readings of the law from the morning to the evening. And it seems, when it is here said that, verse 43, when they had finished the days, that they stayed all the 7 days, the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does the Lord Jesus Christ do after 7 days of teaching? He stays behind in Jerusalem. He wants to have more of the teaching. He wants to learn more of the word of God and of the law of God. And what is particularly remarkable is that he was learning from the teachers. Well, to my knowledge, in the Gospels, that's the only time where we see the Lord Jesus Christ learning. And what an amazing Savior we had who learned from other men. Verse 64, they found him sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. The best teachers were around at that time at the Feast of Passover, and he wanted to learn more. He had a delight in the law of God. This is naturally, if you have a delight in something, you spend time doing it. And you have a desire to do it. And the Lord Jesus Christ took the means of other preachers and teachers to learn more about God. And he was asking them questions. And how much more can we do that? Learn from preachers and teachers. If the Lord Jesus Christ himself learned from sinful men and asked them questions about the word of God. He was sitting there in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And then sometimes Sometimes he would also answer, and they would ask back, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He already knew so much. He was filled to the brim of human capacity of a 12-year-old with the wisdom and knowledge and grace that was possible at that age. He was a perfect Adam in his growth. What an amazing thing this would have been for these teachers. Yes, he was asking them, but they were just amazed. How could that possibly be that a 12-year-old would know so much of the Word of God and have so much wisdom? Well, why was that possible? Because he had, from the earliest day on, he had a delight in the law of God. He meditated upon it day and night. And here he did it 7 days and then another 3 days. It's almost as if he forgot the time. He wasn't even thinking, it seems, almost about his parents at that particular time. He was listening to these teachers. He was truly like that, as it is described in Isaiah 50. And this is why we read that passage. Verse 4, second half, and it is said there, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. It's quite remarkable. I recently have on my phone an app, a Jewish app of the Old Testament, and I read a little bit in Hebrew of Isaiah 50, and they have in brackets where they say the prophet is speaking of himself here. They want to make that point. They don't want to say that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as I learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. And now comes the next secret of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he had. And I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. That's the second principle that drove the growth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Delight in obedience. Delight in obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ was not reluctant to obey. He never disobeyed. He never disobeyed. He would have heard the scriptures read in the synagogues from Sabbath to Sabbath. He would have taken it on and immediately obeyed. No hesitancy. A total delight in obeying the law of God. And also in our text, we see it in several aspects here. First, I believe we see it in the trust the parents had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is said here that the parents started to return, go back to Nazareth alone, because they were supposing him to be with the company of the relatives. And I'm sure that was quite common to do that in these times, that you would be with the relatives. But nevertheless, I'm not sure how many of you would let your child who's 12 years old wander alone in a city where Josephus said 3 million people came at Passover. That's probably a bit inflated, but was absolutely packed, the city. And they returned without really knowing where he is, and they were looking for him. And don't we see here the trust they had for the Lord Jesus Christ? He has never disobeyed them. He has never done something sinful. And they already saw that. And the 12-year-old Jesus Christ, he had a delight from the earliest day on to obey his parents, to do what his parents said, and also to obey the law of God. But maybe the next question that comes up is, well, did he not disobey them here? Did he not disobey them here? And I think there is a horrible show about the Lord Jesus Christ just now, which is very, very popular. I'm not going to mention it. But there, I think they make a reference to that particular story, and they more or less say that the Lord Jesus Christ sinned here. He had to apologize to the parents. But that's not what happens here. First of all, I don't believe you disobeyed him, and we know he did not disobey them, but when they came back, and they didn't say, why have you disobeyed us? They just, why have you treated us so? They were just in distress because they couldn't find him. But he did not disobey them. He did not disobey them. And then the next thing what we see here, and this is very interesting, verse 49, and look at the answer. Why did you seek me? He's kind of surprised. Why did you seek me? It's obvious where I must be. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And I want you to focus on the word must, because Luke uses that word several times later on. For instance, in chapter 4, 43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. Exactly then, when actually the expectation of the disciples was a different expectation. Also here, the expectation of the parents was a different one. But I say, I must obey my Father in heaven. I must do the will of God who is in heaven. Or chapter 9, 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Or the chapter 13, when Herod wanted to kill him and they warned the Lord Jesus Christ, it is said, nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following. Exactly the same thing the Lord Jesus Christ does here. The expectation of the parents was a different one, but the Lord Jesus Christ had the delight in obeying God the Father, and in this moment he had to be in the temple in Jerusalem. He was simply obedient to God, what we all should be. He had the delight in obedience. And then further on in a third aspect we see his delight he had to obey God in verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. He was subject to them. And I find that remarkable and amazing. Because we just saw him calling God his Father. And we know what the Pharisees thought of that. They realized he is hinting at a very, very close connection with God in heaven, making himself equal with God the Father. And here he's saying, and his stepfather is next to him, but he's meaning, of course, a Father in heaven. He knows who he is also in his humanity, the Son of God. And then his parents didn't understand anything. They didn't understand it. And yet he submitted to them. How often is it for us that when we think we are superior than someone else, we do not submit to them, even though they may be higher up in authority? The Lord Jesus Christ was ready to obey God. He delighted in obedience to God. He submitted to his parents. And in these three things, we really see that what we also sang in Psalm 40, it was true of the Lord Jesus Christ. I delight to do your will, O my God. That gave satisfaction to the Lord Jesus Christ, to do the will of God. And the same thing was, of course, true in his whole life. Maybe you remember the story where the Lord Jesus Christ met the Samaritan woman. And the disciples went into town because the Lord Jesus Christ was hungry and tired because of the traveling he was doing. And they came back and they said, Rabbi, eat. And what was the answer for the Lord Jesus Christ? I have food to eat of which you do not know. What food is that? Where does he get his satisfaction? Of course he had to truly eat as well, but he was hinting at something else. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This satisfied the Lord Jesus Christ. In this, he had a true delight. But why did he have a delight in the law of God? Why did he have a delight in obeying the law of God? Well, because the law of God, the word of God, shows us the majesty, the holiness, the beauty, and the splendor of God. What he was doing, it is simply being obedient to the glory of God, because God is perfect and wonderful and beautiful. And that brings us to the last principle that drove Christ's growth, delight in God. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ linger behind just to intellectually learn, to know a little bit more than others, how we children often are? We sometimes just learn to know more than others, maybe then to boast about it to others, and the Lord Jesus Christ did not do that. Why did he want to know more of the law of God? Why did he want to obey the law of God? Well, because he saw in the law of God, he saw the glory of God, and he saw God himself. When we read the Ten Commandments, we know this is who God is. He had a delight in God because he knew there's fullness of joy in God's presence. And that was the reason why he was in the temple. Where was the presence of God chiefly, or the representation of the presence of God back in these days? It was the temple. It was the temple. Does not David say, or the Lord Jesus Christ say in Psalm 27, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Is not exactly that what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing? He wanted to have fellowship with God. He wanted to be in the presence of God through his word with the saints. And that's why, I believe, we see or hear the surprise in the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ when his parents come. They were seeking him and only found him on the third day. They were looking for him. And he's asking them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Dear parents, it's obvious where I would be. I wouldn't go to any other place but be in the presence of God. You know me, dear parents. You know me. That is exactly what I always did. I was rejoicing on the morning of a Sabbath to hear the word of God. This is where I want to be. Is it not glorious to see the Lord Jesus Christ with 12 years old? That's where he wanted to be, in the presence of God. That was where his longing was, his delight was, to be with God. And later on, this was the case, of course, again and again, also being in the congregation of God's people. Luke is emphasizing this in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day." His custom from very early on. He would sit there like you children sit today and listen to the word of God and have a delight in the word of God, because he knew he can have fellowship with the Father in heaven through the means of grace. This is where the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to be. And it is very interesting. Luke starts with the boy Jesus in the temple, in the presence of God. And Luke ends with the disciples being in the temple. Luke chapter 24. Last verse, I read from verse 52. "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." You see, they copied the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to be in the presence of God. They wanted to be in the presence of God. And we may think now, how wonderful would it be if we still had a temple built out of stone and we could be in the presence of God? Well, we have something much, much better. On the day of Pentecost, they were waiting. They were praying in the presence of God. The Spirit of God came down, showing that God's glory now dwells in the midst of the people of God in the Spirit of Christ. And therefore, Paul says in Corinthians, you are the temple of God. You are the temple of God, and particularly when we come together on this holy day and worship God together, we are coming into the presence of God. We are receiving His grace through the means of grace. And therefore, we want to take a delight in being in the presence of God. We want to long for it and also be prepared to meet our God and prepare ourselves. Because so often when we think about other things on a Sunday morning, it distracts us. But prepare yourself. Prepare yourself when you come into the presence of God in the holy congregation, when we come together to come into the temple of God, into the presence of God. These three things were the principles and means the Lord Jesus Christ used so that he would grow. He had a delight in God's law. He had a delight in being obedient to God's law. And he had a delight to be in the presence of God. That brings us to a few application points, which I sometimes also give in our congregation, or mostly give in our congregation. The first one is, take encouragement from Christ's humanity. Take encouragement from Christ's humanity. Because the Spirit of God wants to replicate in us what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ in his human nature, how he was. And take encouragement from that. He truly became man. He grew like we are growing, hopefully, in grace. And the Spirit of God is working that in us. And it is a wonderful thing to think that one day we will be like Christ. We will be like the Ten Commandments tell us how we should be. What a wonderful day that will be. Second point. Obedience, children and adults, is a delight, isn't it? Sometimes it doesn't feel like a delight. But I want to ask you, when was it ever that when you were obedient to God that you regretted it afterwards? Never. Never. But if you were disobedient to God, you surely will regret it. Therefore, obedience is actually a delight for us Christians who have the Spirit of God. And if you have no delight whatsoever, cry out to the Lord that he would forgive you your sins and change you. Third point, parents. I want to address the parents. Know that your faithfulness is instrumental for the growth of your children. Before our text, we see that twice at least it is mentioned, if not more times, how the parents were doing everything according to the law. Just in verse 39, that's why we read it. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, and also that was instrumental in the means the Lord used to make the Lord Jesus Christ grow in his human nature. And therefore do likewise, relying always on the grace of God, not by virtue for you doing these things, but relying on the grace of God, but doing the things God tells us to do. And children, the last application, children, listen very, very carefully. Be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Sit in the temple, in the church, in the presence of God, and listen very carefully what is being said. And maybe write down questions for later, which you could even ask the minister afterwards, or the parents, and learn like the Lord Jesus Christ learned. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Antioch Presbyterian Church. For more information about Antioch, visit us at our website at antiochpca.com.